Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Third hour, Darren, Donica, Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point on this beautiful Wednesday here in Nashville. Man, it is sunny and beautiful. What, low to mid 80s today? It's going to be a perfect day. Hope you get a chance to get outside. We always enjoy our conversations with our next guest. Field Yates covers the NFL for ESPN, and he is now on the line with us. Field, how you doing?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. Appreciate you having me on. It sounds like it's a beautiful day in Nashville. It's kind of cloudy where I am, so I'll take your weather today.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, I apologize if I just rubbed our weather in your face. I didn't know exactly what it was where you were.
Well, you know what? I'll survive today, and the forecast looks solid for the rest of the week here in Massachusetts. So we'll see, but Nashville weather probably trumps Massachusetts weather most days of the week.
Probably so. The NFL will survive, Field, whether they play four preseason games or less. There's a report out there circulating in the last, 30 minutes or so, that there are some people within the sport, executives within the sport, are saying, hey, don't be surprised if this preseason isn't shortened. We've been screaming that for years. It's easy for us as fans/media. I know it's more important to the organization and the coaches, but what would that mean if indeed it played out where maybe they cut the preseason in half?
Yeah, so let's keep this in mind, guys, is that I think, in various conversations I've had, the NFL's preference is not only to have a 16-game regular season for each team, but also to have a 16-game regular season that starts on time. And the current start date with the Chiefs and the Texans in week one is September 10th. And I think the reality is that if you play a full preseason schedule and things are at all delayed, either going into training camp or even if teams report on time, but players have to go through an acclimation process given the COVID-19 impact and the need to quarantine and the amount of exposure that they will be subjected to, that I think it's somewhat logical to say, all right, what is the most expendable part of that five-week stretch from late July until early September when roster cuts take place? And the reality is that it's probably preseason games. I understand that they do drive some ticket revenue, maybe not this year. They do drive some television money revenue. But, you know, let's be honest, is that television money revenue and ticket revenue as substantial as the importance of keeping a 16-game season lined up as it should be, or at least as it is intended to be, to begin on September 10th? So I think probably what we're realizing is that we've all known the preseason as sort of the vulnerable part of that, that 5 weeks of training camp, because the games are important for some players to make rosters, but there's not a ton necessarily of fan interest relative to the regular season. So not a huge surprise to me that they could be part of the sacrifice as the NFL continues to sort through the realities of COVID-19 and how it's going to impact camps.
Yeah, it really full disclosure, Phil, for us screaming this for years, and I mean, this goes way back. It was more sticking up for the fans. Like, it was a farce to charge them full price for, you know, NFL preseason games. It's a glorified scrimmage, and they had no business. It's an opportunity to get people who can't afford regular season games in the NFL. Maybe you cut the prices in half or come up with some type of package that let more kids come to. It's an opportunity to grow your game where you can't do that during the regular season. So that was really the angle. But that's kind of, I think you just kind of touched on it, but I understand there was value on the organizational side of things. That's where you've been. But truly, how much was there? I mean, what cuts? What did it really come down to? What, two, three, a handful of guys every preseason? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, I would say, let's just say it's an average. It's somewhere between, I would say maybe closer to like half a dozen per team.
Okay.
And I think the reality is that it's the guys that might not make the initial roster, but might sort of toil on the practice squad for part of the season. But you know, every year there's a guy who sort of unexpectedly, on almost every roster, if not multiple players in every roster, who ends up making a mark, right? So, and I understand the need to, the reality is that this is a job that's going to be performance and production driven. So a lot of guys are going to get cut, regardless of if they had six preseason games or 6 preseason snaps. So I understand why it simultaneously is important to some players, but also concurrently not as important in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, I don't think that having 2 preseason games is going to have a massive outlook that we can point to, or excuse me, change that we can point to for each of these NFL teams. It might be that some of the stories that we don't realize how great they are until they come to fruition won't occur. So someone like Adam Thielen, for example, who makes the team with the Vikings, is an undrafted free agent, basically a tryout-level player, and is now one of the best wide receivers in football. Well, when you have fewer reps and fewer opportunities to prove yourself as an undrafted player, then there are bound to be fewer stories of that nature.
In your opinion, Field, what would Clowney do for the Titans if they were able to come to an agreement with him and add him to their roster? What difference does that make currently what they have now and then an addition like that?
Yeah, I think it's a multi-layered addition if it were ever to take place. So the Titans have some pieces, obviously, that you know we think are useful, impact potential rushers on the roster. You know, Vic Beasley, I understand that he came off of a down season, but he's what, just a couple of years away or removed, excuse me, from leading the NFL in sacks. Like, there's obviously some talent there. I understand they're trying to maybe reduce the number of snaps that Harold Landry is playing on a game-by-game basis, but that would be easier to accomplish with Jadeveon Clowney around, right? And they're exactly the same player, but, you know, you sort of lump them into the same position group or groups that kind of compete for snaps amongst the team. So I think that Clowney, his sack production last year, obviously way down. It's really never met the lofty expectations we all had for him when he came out of South Carolina and was the number one overall pick, but really impactful, forceful player. I would encourage people, if we ever get to the point where Jadeveon is a Titan, go back and rewatch Monday Night Football from week 12 of this past season. Seahawks and 49ers. 49ers were undefeated. Jadeveon Clowney basically single-handedly sent them their first loss of the year. So athletic, so disruptive, so powerful, so fast. Scored a touchdown in that game, which is why I bring up the speed. A guy that I think can really make a difference has not been quite as dominant as I was mentioning earlier, and that's the reason why we're still talking about him on June 10th. If he had been the player many expected him to be right out of the gate, he would not be available right now. He would have signed a 5-year, $120 million deal a long time ago. So I think the fact that he's available is sort of a reflection of him not quite being at that very top of the iceberg of these, our food pyramid of guys that are dominant edge rushers, but still a really useful player and a guy that would make a major mark on that Titans defense.
I think we all agree. Let's hope it happens. So, Field, what's your? It's going on for a long time here. The waiting game. It makes a lot of sense for the Titans. I think we know that they're interested, and it seems like the vibe you get is that Jadeveon Clowney is interested in Nashville. So what is your best theory on what the holdup is? Is it simply value, or is it because of physicals, you know, doctors, not seeing all the information, all of that stuff? What's your theory?
Yeah, so I would say, let's start here, is that I don't know if you misread the market, but I think Jadeveon probably expected to be signing a $100 million-plus dollar deal at the beginning of free agency. And when that doesn't happen, your instinct right away is to not just settle for something less. And I don't know specifically, but let's say there was a 5-year, $70 million deal at the beginning of free agency available to him. You're probably saying, I can't take that. I got to wait, right? I got to hold out hope. Didn't happen. Moving along from there, I think that, you know, money is dried up, right? Like, teams might be able to make a 1-year offer with the available salary cap space they have, but it's hard for them to make a multi-year offer or a 5-year offer. Those just don't seem like they're available right now. So I think for Clowney, there's no rush. Obviously, teams can't bring him in for physical. Teams can't bring him in, for a workout or anything like that. You're basically just sort of going through virtual meetings. That's about it right now. So I think it's as simple as just, this is such an unconventional process given the COVID-19 restrictions that it may be a while longer. We may have this conversation in a month and Jadeveon Clowney may still be unsigned.
Well, we'll continue to speculate. It's given us plenty of fodder for the show, that's for sure. Field Yates is with us from ESPN. So with that in mind, you know, you just kind of laid out some of the financial issues. Pretty daring move by Dalvin Cook to come out and say he wants a new contract, he's willing to hold out. We used Melvin Gordon as an example. Are we off on that, or do you think this is a really dangerous move, knowing what we know about the value of running backs these days?
Yeah, I would say this, is you got to be careful here if you're Dalvin Cook, hoping to bite off more than you can chew. At the same time, the Vikings have kind of been an organization that, if you look at it, they sort of rewarded guys, and they usually do so after the third year of their contract, which is when they were extension eligible. So if I were the Vikings, and if I were any team, and this is a pertinent conversation at the Titans right now, I'm not trying to sign a player to a five-year deal at the top of the running back market. I'm just not. There's too much replaceability in that position. It's tried and true, and it's shown over and over again. That being said, I do think this one gets done. I don't know specifically what the number will be, but I do expect it to be, you know, certainly an eight-figure per year number for Dalvin Cook on a multi-year extension.
Field Yates of ESPN is here with us. So one thing that we've discussed, and not just with the NFL but all sports, you see some of these contracts that have been handed out. You bring up Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry here in Nashville playing on the franchise tag, Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes. How do you think the COVID-19 pandemic could affect contracts moving forward in the NFL?
You know, it's hard for me to say precisely. And obviously, we're all aware of the potential salary cap impact of COVID-19, no fans in the stands. And, you know, that could obviously, that reduces ticket revenue. And that obviously puts you in a very compromised spot in terms of expecting to reach the revenue that you had projected. It's too soon to say for certain. What I will say is that I don't think it impacts the quarterbacks. I think it impacts the guys that are the next tier, right? I think it's guys that are middle of the roster players. I think it's guys that you want to take care of and reward because they're nice players, but it's not guys that are Patrick Mahomes or Dak Prescott. Those guys are going to get theirs because it's the most important spot on the roster, and you got to take care of them. But guys who are sort of in that middle tier on the roster, solid veterans making, you know, at or right near, you know, sort of middle market money, those are the guys who I think could be squeezed a little bit if there is a dramatic salary cap reduction next year.
You brought up no fans, and that led me right into my next question. NASCAR announced they're going to have some fans in the stands in a couple weeks at Talladega. They're capping that at 5,000. I'm sure the NFL will pay attention to that, it being an outdoor sport. So what does your gut tell you? Week one, will there be any fans at all in the stands at a National Football League game?
My gut is maybe. But honestly, guys, it's hard for me to – I think it's perilous for me to go any further than that because I just don't know. I don't think any of us know, right? I mean, that's really as far as I can go right now because it seems like there's been some positive steps taken, but I do think that we've got a long way to go before we can say with any level of certainty.
I know there's obviously a lot going on in our country right now, more than just the pandemic and the NFL. Roger Goodell released a video last week, and now, of course, you have Colin Kaepernick's name coming back up. How do you foresee the league handling that situation, whether it's an apology or he gets workouts? I don't really know the right way to do it, but how do you see them addressing that?
Yeah, I don't. I would say that this is if the NFL, I think the first step for the NFL is doing something. Like, I think they need to reorganize another workout. And the reason why I say that is if they don't do anything and don't address the Colin Kaepernick situation head on, then if no one signs Colin Kaepernick, you can just displace responsibility if you're a team. If you're the Jaguars, you can say, well, why are you mad at us for not signing Colin Kaepernick? The Patriots didn't do it. The Titans didn't do it. And the Jets didn't do it. So I think if you have a workout, it sort of puts this right in, you know, right in the ecosphere of football. I think that's really important for the NFL to do. So I don't know when or how or where it gets organized. Obviously, again, COVID-19 is dramatically impacting things. But I do think another workout that is, you know, designed specifically for Colin Kaepernick, in which all 32 teams are invited, and they better show up this time, then I think that would be, or I think it would behoove them to show up. I think that would be a good first step.
And then speaking of repairing some relationships, USC, Reggie Bush, I know this isn't an NFL question per se, but USC and Reggie Bush, it seems like the USC's trying to repair some things of with everything that happened when he was there. What are your thoughts on that, and do you think that he should get the Heisman back?
100%. You better get the Heisman back. I don't know. Listen, I think that, you know, ultimately it's up to I don't even know who's up to be honest with you. I just, you know, I look at it like this. Do I look back on that season and I say, oh, yeah, Reggie Bush was a Heisman that year. Most enjoyable player of my lifetime to watch in college football. So, you know, to me, it would make total sense to just give him the Heisman back. But I also understand that if the NFL or, sorry, the NCAA chooses not to, like, I've had a hard time figuring out some of their decision-making in the past. So I think he deserves it back, but I don't know whether it's actually going to happen.
As we wrap this up, Nashville's going to throw their hat in the ring for another NFL draft, maybe 2024, 25. You okay with that?
100%. Would love for it to happen. Not my decision, obviously, but if I were ever asked to make the case for a city, Nashville would be right at the top of my list. I had such an enjoyable time last year. It was such a great event. Crazy weather didn't slow things down one bit on that first night. It was just terrific. The fans were all in. Loved being downtown. Loved seeing all the excitement. I loved seeing the way the city embraced it. I love seeing the way that the NFL embraced the city. I know there are a lot of places that certainly are desiring to have the draft, and we've got Vegas back in the mix, Cleveland. I know Green Bay has desired to be in the mix, Kansas City, et cetera. But Nashville certainly earned, at least in my estimation, a second go-around at some point in the future.
Perfect. We'll send that audio to the league and said, Field Yates endorses Nashville. Hey, thanks for the visit, as always. Good to talk to you. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right, that is Field Yates, covers the NFL for ESPN, and he does a really good job of doing that. Let's come back. On the other side, we'll discuss the odds of Clowney and where he could land. Field Yates, by the way, said he also wouldn't be surprised if a month from now we're not still having this conversation about Jadeveon Clowney. We'll do that here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.